Well, I definitely think there shouldn't really be a big divide between ideas of what is theory and what is practice. So, from the very first year, I think students should be able to engage with problems and issues that have been raised by theoreticians, but that are also engaged in a practical, in art practice. So I don't think I'd prescribe a list of theoreticians apart from the obvious post-structuralists, etc. But I think what would be necessary to do is to immediately demystify and deny the idea that there is a split, and go from day one with the theory that there is no split, that theory is practice and practice is theory. I think competences is quite a tricky word. It's used a lot in literature on the Bologna process, and there is this, it seems to me that there is an idea that a student should be able to achieve a certain quota of objectifiable skills or knowledge, and that to me looks a bit too similar to ways of quantifying skill in a completely different sector, the commercial sector or the industrial sector. In an art practice, I think we should resist that. What we should try to achieve is a freedom and an autonomy from all those other sectors. And the idea of prescribing what are the skills that you need to achieve when you graduate to be able to, I suppose, make a living or enter the free market exchange is something that I don't think our schools should get involved in. No, well, as I said at the beginning, I don't think there is a divide. I think what should be set in place and what is something that hasn't happened, especially not in Eastern European art schools and not so much in Western European art schools either, is an implementation of a transdisciplinary curriculum where you don't have ridiculously conventional and orthodox divisions between, even in the practical sphere, between painting and sculpture and it's idiotic. And furthermore, not to have a division between what you think of as a theoretical and what you think of as a practical side. Obviously, students need to be versed in the basics of critical theory by year three or something. They can't come out of the academy and not have read anything by Admiral Foucault or something. But it's not something that you should necessarily want to apply academic structures from different disciplines too. I don't think students need to have exams in classical philosophy. I don't think they need to have... they're not going to be academics. They're using that theory in a different way. And the same as they use their practice in a different way from a classical sculptor. They should be able to use it to investigate and explore the society that they live in. And what we should, if we're thinking about competences, what I think we should be able to qualify them for is to have a critical attitude to the world that they live in. So when they graduate, it is their job to be critical. In what way? You want to write? Or
yes, for example.
You can write? Who's going to stop you? I mean, so, well, obviously your learning curve will be much higher than it would be if you'd had a 3-year degree in critical studies or something before. You will bring to your subject a different background and different experiences and different knowledges. So, nothing will actually certify that if you've done 3 years of philosophy and 2 years of an MA, that you'll be a better theoretician than if you've not done those 3 years. I don't think it's a trend. I think it's a response to an urgent question. I think there's a crisis in the educational system, there's a crisis in the academies. This is a response. I mean, when there's a crisis, you have to somehow find ways of completely re-evaluating what an academy is and what art education is. If, you know, forms of authority that until recently could stand up and no longer can, if everybody feels that there is some kind of gap because there is so much of an influx from theory, not necessarily an adequate answer in the art schools because they're still following a model set up in the academic areas, obviously it's a different, you know, this is a different field when you apply theory to practice than if you are simply a theoretician. So I would say that it's not a trend, but a response to a very necessary question. I think that there is a big difference between what a system that is market-driven reproduces, and what a system that is truly trying to be autonomous produces. So if you look at education as something that is without, not within the boundaries of a system, which is how it should be, then that would absolve it of what you've just accused it of. On the other hand, what I think the Bologna process especially is driving towards is the production of graduates from art schools who can immediately enter a neoliberal circuit of exchange.
Art market also?
Everything. Whether it's the idea that you have to graduate within 3 years, that you have to be efficient, that you have to be able to market yourself, that you have to be able to... All those things are very similar to notions from management or design or commercial fields. No, of course not. Well, what I'm saying is, I think education is something that is absolutely essential, and it's one field where the institutions should stand against the drives of market forces. Obviously, problems in old academies is of a different nature, that they are governed by orthodoxies of 19th century ideas of what a master artist is. So in a way, I think we have a gap that we haven't been able to overcome, because we haven't even come to the 60s form of art schools of open space and kind of free tutorials. We haven't even questioned notions about what the relationship between a tutor and a student is. Those are very orthodox and very conventional and problematic. Well, in a very practical terms, I found that using texts written by artists to begin with is a much easier way in to texts that can sometimes be quite complex and difficult, and that can be, what's the word, awe-inspiring, anything that you simply cannot understand, that level of language. Texts by people like Guy Debord, very good, or just things like writings from Petitbon or whoever that has a practice as well. I do also think that people involved purely in theory do not have an understanding of practice, and would, if they wanted to, need to actually get involved much more in making rather than just writing. Yeah, I really don't think that you should have them as separate. I think one doesn't go without the other. I don't think you make a piece of work without thinking about critical and theoretical subjects. I don't think that exists.
And vice versa?
No, not vice versa necessarily. Vice versa, I think theoreticians do, or rather academic theoreticians, have traditionally belonged to a very hierarchical system of knowledge production, and would not necessarily see the value of making. They didn't go to art school. I think it's, some people have tried to bridge that gap. I think Catherine David, when she was doing Documenta, tried to bring for the first time some theoreticians in to actually engage with artworks that they would not have done prior to that. It is a problem, obviously it's a problem, but it's something in a way where it's up to the artists and the art scene to validate the language of art to a higher degree. It's not accepted in academic institutions as of equal value. Yeah, maybe we're not talking about the same kind of theory. It seems to me that you're talking about people like Duclos or Susan Butmore, some people who use theory to describe artworks.
Yes.
That's a kind of vein of art historical stroke theory, if you like. But if you're talking about people like, Derrida or Foucault, they don't talk about art. Artists quote theory. I think it's a different way around. I think we will tend to quote from, you know, a little bit of Foucault, a little bit of Baudrillard. They don't really quote from us. Yeah, absolutely, I agree with you. There is a certain way of writing that needs to have a certain amount of theory and a certain amount of objects to apply that theory to. I'm not sure what... Are you talking about dominant structures that show a superiority, or are you talking about essential superiority? Or I think in Western culture the word has much greater power and the text has much greater validity in the kind of public domain than a piece of artwork has. So in terms of, you know, the dominant cultural ideology, a written text has greater authority, always has had, and unfortunately probably will have. Because it denies other forms of inquiry and other forms of expression, which are not by any means any less valuable. They simply do not use the convention of the language.